Chinese, arrive in a heart to hear, see, to take in what you have to speak to us today. God bless our hearts, bless Tammy's heart, and she hears us. Amen.
Amen.
Hello. She's funny, isn't it? Am I getting? I've been literally coming up at the end of the end of my preach. So I kind of worked it in my preach, so I might have to kind of change the end. But no, it's just a day, you know. I don't know how we thought it was going to happen, but that's what I love about God. Then when you go, God, I'm going to take this passion that you've given us, and I'm now going to literally the morning and but do you know what? We hold things lightly. He's given us vision. And I love the way that God provides for his vision, usually in completely unexpected ways. You know? So if you've got questions, or you want to know more about it, please grab us at the end. And I'm really happy to share a bit more of this journey of how this building came about. But you know, God is faithful. We've been here for 4 years. We've been waiting, haven't we? That's what we've prayed for, isn't it? A home of our own.
Yeah.
And this is what God brings to us. So are you ready to meet Jimmy Corinthians this morning? Anyone read Corinthians chapter 8? That's where we're on. Anyone? Sure? Yeah? Welcome. Okay, so we are... So when did you want to Corinthians chapter 8? Last week we looked a little bit about relationships. And the whole book of Corinthians is a letter responding to the church of Corinth, and Paul saw this stuff out. They were stumbling a little bit. They had the right intentions, but they were failing in different ways. Sorry. And Paul is addressing certain issues they're writing to him to help him. And so really taking those issues kind of one by one, really breaking it down, and we do believe that the Bible is inspired word of God, right?
Yeah.
Yeah? Do you believe that? Well, I'm sure you believe that. Do you believe the Bible is inspired word of God?
Yes.
Not just some layers, but this is what God says. You know? And it's real for them.
Turn the game down.
It's real for the people that talk about, the people they talk about. They are real people. Just as we are real right now. And this Bible, this book, this revelation from God is alive and real for us right now as it was for people back then. We get that? Do you believe that? Are you not sure? Do we believe it's relevant for today?
Yeah.
Okay, so what we're going to say today is going to be relevant for your everyday. So, we're looking today at stumbling blocks. Okay, those of you who have heard me preach before, you know I like to use a box. I think it's my grandma. But I have used boxes before. I've used stumbling blocks before. I had a preach a while ago called Little Boxes and Little Boxes. And it was talking about the little boxes that come into our lives, and they can cause havoc in our lives, but we can change the box if we don't deal with them. And when we box them, don't deal with them, and throw them away, then it can become stumbling blocks to others. Okay? I'm Welsh, for those of you who don't know, I've done that proper Welshing, where you explain something and go, but we're not going to talk about that. So you know, you do direction cycle, if you go this way, if you go that way, if you go this way, then that's wrong, you're not going to say. So I'm talking about stumbling blocks, but I'm not talking about stumbling blocks in the sense of issues in your life that you haven't dealt with. This is a little bit different. This is the sense of what I was talking about believers. Being a stumbling block to other believers and also those that are around you. So let's get started. We're going to read straight from the Bible, because that's where we got to start. So we're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 8. So I'll get started. Hopefully you'll be up here behind. And I love the way he starts, because sometimes I read it in a kind of tone that I think he may have been reading it, and I might be wrong, but go with me on this. But he's been talking about some issues, he starts off here, and it's now the next thing. Now, concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by God.
Yeah.
Therefore, as a scripture idols, we know that an idol has no real existence and that there is no God but one. Do we agree?
Yeah.
But although there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, there is indeed, there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father who all things, who are all things and for whom we exist. I exist for him and for the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all things and through whom are all things and through whom we exist. However, not all possess this knowledge. Not everyone gets that. Sorry, I have that bit. But some, through formal association with idols, eat food as they are really offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not commend us to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat it, and no better off if we do. But take care that this right of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. So if anyone sees you who has knowledge, eating idol in an idol's temple, will he not be encouraged if his conscience is weak to eat food offered to idols? And so by your knowledge, this weak person is destroyed, the brother for whom Christ died. Thus sinning against your brothers and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat lest I make my brother stumble. Okay, so if you like a title for your preaching or your little lesson, I titled this Stumbling Block or Starting Block. Okay? You want that one? Stumbling Block or Starting Block. Okay, so who knows what Starting Block is? Anyone? Not you, something different. Yeah?
When you're in a race, you have blocks to start off with.
Awesome. Yeah, so a starting block is used in a race. Now last week in junior church I was teaching the kids and we were talking to them about coaching, okay, and what a coach does. They're coaching church, they're encouraged by the junior church leaders, they're about their coaching, and they're telling them the best things to do, yeah? And they're teaching them, they're training them. Just like an athletics coach teaches and trains an athlete. But the athlete has a choice. He can listen and they can take on board, they can train real hard. The coaching is only worth what the athlete or the listener, the coach, takes on board. Yeah? But a starting block, I'm jumping through my notes here on this one. So a starting block gives you an athlete, okay, or in life, it holds your feet at the start of the race so that you do not slip as you push out from the starting block. Okay? So, with heels, what you can see, but to go down the floor, it doesn't look like this, but it's clean. And it's something that can project you forward. It's sharp, it's firm, okay? It's your foundation, okay?
What?
There's your stumbling block is. Chips
rule.
Foundation way. Chips that. Anybody? Anybody from this side, the inactive side? Stumbling block? What do you have? What does it initially actually do? What do you do over a stumbling block? So, this starting block, they can be so steady to start me off this way. If I'm walking this way, it could easily become a stumbling block. You missed when you were setting up this morning. I've got the new shoes on this morning. However, I just love those. They're not really made for me. I properly stacked it at the back there. And my shoe really became a stumbling block. A stumbling block is you can fall as you break. So, dictionary definition, for those who like. It's an object to a starting block. It's not steady. It's an obstacle, a hurdle, a barrier, a bar, a hindrance, an impediment, a disadvantage, a restriction, a limitation, a snag, a hitch, a tax, a drawback, a difficulty, a problem, an issue, it's a weakness, it's a defect, it's a pitfall, it's a problem. I don't know, I'll say it backwards. It's a complication, difficulty, and weakness. There's your problem, a difficulty, a drawback, a tax, a hitch, a snag, and a taste, a strict, a disadvantage, a temper, a hindrance, a bar, a barrier, and an obstacle. It is a starting block. Hands up, who wants to be a stumbling block? We like sweets. Okay, so let's share a little bit of fun with you all this, okay? So there is some things eating the meat. The issue with meat was, the meat that they could buy in the market, who loves a bargain?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, so the bargain meat in the market was meat that had been used in worship to idols. So basically, the people who worshipped different gods, they would take an animal, they would sacrifice it in worship to their god, and that meat would be divided into three. Okay? So one portion would be burnt, the burnt offering, one portion would be taken and eaten by the person offering the offering, and the other portion would be given to the temple. But when the temple had too much meat, they would sell it in the market for a bargain. Okay?
Right.
Now, as these guys knew, you had different counsel of going, well, it's the opposite of the idols, it's polluted, we're not going to touch it, we're not going to associate it with it. But then you had the other people, other Christians living in freedom, going, but we know those idols do not exist, they're not real.
Yeah.
We know there is one God, therefore we have freedom. Remember, Emma spoke about it, she spoke last week. The freedom that we have in Christ. Hands up if you're free.
Yeah.
Just give you a little word like that. They say all the way. Okay? But we're free, are we not?
Yeah.
Okay? And we know that not everything is good for us. We may be free to do everything, but not everything is beneficial for us. And we spoke about that so much here a few weeks ago. Okay? So their issue was over this meat, over this circumcision taken. And what could it be? The first verse says, chapter 8, verse 1 says, now concerning food offered to idols, you know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, but love is built up. Feels good to be right, doesn't it? I mean, question, these Corinthians, they can take a bit of a hammering, because for all of it, it's like, okay, you're following God, but when you're doing this, it's just not hitting the mark. And so it feels good to be right. But the root isn't really the meat here. The root is their foundation of knowledge. And that balance of knowledge and love. So, not particularly really, but. So this is their stumbling block or starting block of knowledge and love. You see, they knew they were free, but some of those who were coming up behind them, who had perhaps been converted from other faith religions, they still held a lot of association to that meat that had been offered in Ireland.
Yeah.
So there's a doctrinal issue here that they're arguing. And Paul deals with it so beautifully. But first I want us to understand, okay, knowledge is good. The Bible talks about seeking after knowledge. But love has to be our foundation. God is love. That's not just like a cute little saying. 1 John 4:8 says, anyone who does not love does not know God.
Yeah.
Not any, because God is love. Not anyone who doesn't know enough Bible verses does not know God. Not anyone who can't tell me how many books are in the Bible and again read their Hebrew does not know God. It is anyone who does not love does not know God. For those of you, don't have an issue with me, knowledge is awesome, okay? But I'm sorry. 1 John 4:16 says, so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. You want God to abide in you. You want God to abide in you. I've been so challenged. It's all your fault, Mr. Langley. Okay? I was given a book which, you know when your heart really, turn to something that you can't really put into words. I'm really not the most eloquent person, and so sometimes I find it hard to articulate how I feel. I was given a book, and it was just like, oh. So I'm really sorry for who is ever preaching later on Corinthians 13, which I'm constantly looking at. Okay? Well, we'll do something different. I'll just keep going on that love, because guys, seriously, 1 Corinthians 13, he says, you can have all the knowledge Without love, we have nothing.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, you have probably heard it, whether you are new to church this morning, or whether you've only been to church for weddings and stuff like that, or whether you've been in church a long time. So what is love? Really, what is love? I don't mean TV love, the way you could love all good things. I don't mean I love my cat. I don't mean I love chocolate or okay? Love is patient. When I say these things, have a little rain check on yourself. Then have a little rain check on your wife or the person sitting next to you, about the dirtiness in your head that does nothing. Okay? Think about yourself. Love is patient, kind, doesn't envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way, or irritable, or resentful. It doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing. It rejoices at truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Have a little rain check on yourself, guys. You just need to go home out of the little happy wedding context and go, do you know what? Am I fine? Yesterday, they always happen to me, don't we? Ethically unkind to my daughter. I'll hold my hands up. Okay? Little issue, brushing her long hair, okay? Little frustration, and I was not kind brushing her hair. And God just went, whoosh! Not kind. And I was not being kind. You know? Love is going to be the foundation. Love never ends. All this former knowledge will end. And the knowledge that we only have in part. You see, it says, as the prophecy shall pass away, as the child shall cease, as for knowledge, it will pass away. Love never ends. So think about the people that impose their wisdom on you. We need to listen to others. I'm not saying don't listen to anybody, it's just you and God. God puts people in your life to give you wisdom, to help grow you, to encourage you. God has to be your focus. But think about the wisdom. Is it done in love with the interest of your growth, with you connecting to God, to helping you focus on Him? Or will it cause you to sin? Is it self-seeking? Is it finding self-importance? And not for the purpose of glorifying God or His kingdom coming on earth? When you give some knowledge to someone, I've got a word for you. Is it so you feel good? Is it so you can feel important? Is it coming from love? Or is it coming from that little glitch in that video I'm going to speak the truth in love? Really annoying you, I love you. Not really. Okay. Not that you said what, I mean, you're trying to understand the truth. Sorry. So the guys in Corinth, let's get back to these guys. Bless them, they're trying hard. They've got something right. So they're stopping. They're kind of, they're stopping at the pagan idols. They're held tight to the one true God. They're like, ah, we're free. We're above that. We can't be affected by any idols. We're free to eat this. And that's cool, because they were right. And they must have been really pleased with themselves when Paul goes in to go, to start off with, saying, we all know the truth. Paul's saying, isn't he? Now we know that we are, we all possess knowledge. We know that there's only one God. We know that the idol has no real existence. And listening to that, reading that, I think it's the section of the letter. They were like, we told each other, we know there's only one God. We can eat whatever we want. We ask for free. We are free to eat. We're so cool. We were right. You were gone. Because that feels good sometimes, doesn't it? We're in jail. Bless them, that feeling must have faded quite quickly when Paul reminded him then and us that there's something more important than being right. and that's caring for spiritual well-being of others. Let's be a church that cares for spiritual well-being of others and the being right. Oh, seriously, and I'll try to come back to my notes. But let's be a church that, as love as our foundation, we're so full of God's love, we put on His love, so God abides in us. So without even saying the name Jesus, without even mentioning His name, we lose out love that people encounter God just by us walking past and blessing people. Let not our desire to appear right and more holy, and I've got all the knowledge in down, that we disregard someone else's spiritual growth. Mm-hmm. You know what? Paul handles this beautifully. He really does. Because, and it's a way that we take it off for the board as well, when we come to these disputes, whether it's about me, whether it's about wearing a hat, whether it's about some kind of doctrinal thing that you've got going on in a belief system, let's really remember this. When we're talking with each other, and when we're drawing other alongside us, and when we're speaking in the presence of non-Christians or younger Christians ourselves, let's not take that as an opportunity to be really holy. Okay? Paul, he's so cool. He doesn't ask the guys to surrender their doctrinal rights. He doesn't smash their beliefs. He doesn't say, "You're wrong." He doesn't say, "No, you've got to stop that." He doesn't even stop them from having a steak dinner a couple of times a week. He's not saying, "Right, this is all out for the sake of someone else." What he does ask them to do is to care enough about others to be more concerned with their well-being than we need to be right or exercising their personal rights. Could we love others enough to not worry about imposing our belief, but actually, when God is love and we speak in love, that we're willing to make a sacrifice to someone else so as not to hinder them? Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm not talking about compromising what you believe. I'm not talking about changing what you believe. Paul didn't tell them to not believe in what they believe. He didn't tell them they were wrong in believing that. He was telling them to be sensitive to those that were struggling with getting their heads around that. Okay?
Right.
And a weakness to some people isn't a weakness to others. So for the people who find something easy, they're going to flaunt it in front of somebody who finds it a weakness. Because they don't want it to fall. Here's the thing, eating the meat does not improve them spiritually, it says. Paul was saying, eat the meat does not improve or harm them spiritually. The meat has nothing to do with that, but sin has a lot to do with spirituality. And it's sinful to knowingly wound the conscience of a weaker brother or sister in God. Do you know what, guys? Be really glad if you've got a mature grasp on theological issues. Be really glad. That is a good thing. And that's something we all need to be working towards. Study. Know what you believe and why you believe it. And once you study it, maybe you change what you believe because you realise you believe something else wrong. Study. Know the truth. That's good. But be really serious in your surrender of your personal rights out of love for the sake of the church. We've got to love each other, we know. Mm-hmm. Not trying to outdo each other with knowledge, but to love each other. Stuart does a little story. Pastors tend to have their few little stories. If I say stagnant pond, who puts a stagnant pond? Have you done a few times? That's what I'm going to do. Okay. Another one Stuart likes to use is one of the buts. When we're talking about being saved and getting to know God, it's like going, awesome, I love God. Hop on the bus. And you hop on the bus, but then if we don't care of anyone else, it's like the bus, we're on the bus, we're happy, we go to heaven, we start an opportunity, but we're going to stay past all those bus stops where people don't go. You go, but are you not on the bus? We're on the bus, you don't go to heaven. Okay? We need to stop that bus, we need to care enough to go, this bus is not moving, I need to cram it full. People need to know this truth, we need to cram it full. So people are getting to heaven. So people are learning and knowing the love of God above anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Using your knowledge acknowledge the freedom of the way to be a woman soar and above, beyond reproach, is a very dangerous road to be on. Mark 9:42 says, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to get a great millstone were hung around his neck and he was thrown into the sea. Do not be a stumbling block, but love, and with love, be a starting block for others. You know, we talk to walk in love in everything we do. And you know what love does to knowledge? We know knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Do you know what love does to knowledge? Love puts knowledge into action. Love gives freedom to knowledge. It acquits people, it doesn't condemn people. Do all that you can to make the way free for others.
Because the way that we love people.
to go to the church. And here's my Lord. Okay? No, okay? Sorry, you're the sorry. Okay? But that we love, and just the effect of love, you know what? When God buys you much, you can't help it down. You just gotta let it. Don't let your pressure of having to have all the knowledge stop love getting out. Let God do it. You have to bring every person that you meet to Christ. Jesus can do that.
Yeah.
Just love on them. Give them a little bit of love. Let them taste what it's like to be in love. That proper in love. To live under love that is so patient, so kind, so generous. Just beyond. Oh, here's some limitation. What we know. Well, Johnson, in his book, Love Saves, talked about this, loving people into the kingdom. And he just articulated everything that was on my heart. And Stu and I have been really, not challenged, but encouraged by it. Because it just puts into words how we should serve. And he talks about loving people into the kingdom. The church so truly is the Holy Spirit, that people experience God's love without actually mentioning his name and his shame. And God says, we are ambassadors of God. Shout right there and we'll say, you are an ambassador. Shut it all up here because when you go out there, you are an ambassador for God. What kind of ambassador are you? An ambassador of God. See, people are watching all the time. And not as you probably feel sometimes to condemn you, but because they see something in you that they want. Because people want to receive God. They need God so desperately. And they see something of God's love in you, and that's what they need, a taste of God's love. You know, he says, you have more power than you realise, and more influence than you think. And all you've got to do is ask God, the Father, give you his understanding of who you are, and look out for people who need and can't do this. Ask God what they need, listen, and obey. Really free. That's not walking over across the street going, you need Jesus. Okay, that sometimes puts people off. Sometimes it's this. Hey babe, I know. Don't you? Who's awesome?
You need Jesus.
And then of course. It's like sneaky Jesus. Let Jesus do the Jesus bit. Just normal people. Okay. Imagine we go up to the strangers in town and hugging them. We're going to go to a weird church. Okay? So not that. But you know what I mean. Okay? Not that kind of stuff. Okay? Just love of people. It's not all about you and your walk, getting your knowledge, and puffing yourself up. It's all about bringing others along with us. We're talking about running the race, but just remember guys, we are free, but with that freedom comes responsibility. Galatians 5, 13 says, for we were called to freedom. Amen. We're called to freedom. This isn't, oh, Christian. We're called to freedom. Only Galatians says, don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Knowledge pumps up, love builds up. Romans 14 says, ask the one who is teaching faith. Welcome him. Don't quarrel over opinions. Be careful in your debates. Now, did you hear that? Romans 14:1 says, but don't quarrel over opinions. Be careful in your debates. Some people like a good debate, don't they? You can be having a lovely day and just throw in, what if, or what do we think about this issue? And I'm like, oh, but some people like the whole debate thing. I don't totally get it because I just want to, you know, okay, I know it's helpful. But you know what? Those of you who like to write, please remember, accept motivation shouting and all the act of that debate is just you're crushing somebody else. That is not godly at all. That is actually sinful, because you are crushing somebody else's spirit. When we were in Lincoln, we said church, if you could drive around the garden after church, we could get home and there'd be like a few people outside the house to come and hang out. And a lot of them were massive Bible students at the time, so they thought they knew everything. And that was church was massive kind of debate about church issues. Oh my goodness. I was freedom, I'm the lesbian gay, this is some fun, let's kind of have some fun. And I'm like, what do you think about blah blah blah. And she was like, yeah, that's great, let's make sure it's fun. Yeah. Okay. But we have to be really careful, because sometimes we debate get a little bit heated. Okay. Okay. Passionate, sorry. But they do, sometimes they do, can get a bit heated, and they can lose the point, not sure, I don't know, but they can lose the point of why they're discussing what they're discussing. And I get the point set in that room sometimes, and go, guys, you're not achieving anything. You just caught an argument. And bear in mind, we had people in that room that were really mature in their theological understanding. You had new Bible students that thought they were really mature in their understanding, but really they didn't have a clue. And then you had like new Christians or like youth members in there hearing this kind of crazy stuff going on. And it wasn't always helpful. Sometimes, Avenue Debate Centre, was a house of really good discussion and building one another up and being able to correct each other in such a loving way because we were sort of friends and we do that. Be careful on the reasons and the whys and the hows of your debates that you have. And remember, sometimes you need to sacrifice your own right and your own freedom so it doesn't harm a younger Christian community. You don't have to get everything straight away. You should love them if you know it's there. Romans 14:15, think about status and says, if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. Why would you do something just right? Just to go, well, I'm fine. If you can't handle it, then you're obviously not going to talk about this. Thank you. Do you know what you do has an effect on others? And I just want us to walk in love. You know? Where's the struggle? This is our starting block. Knowledge and love put together. So let love come first. Study, learn, know the truth, because we need to be strong in that. But, guys, let's love each other properly.
Yeah.
We're in exciting times, really exciting times. We're entering into a new building. It's going to feel like a hard place. And we're going to go in love. We're going to have a proper home that we can come back to. They can hang out at the end of service here. I can't wait. To come back to the church. They're okay, look, is she going to and drive it on. And sit down with a sofa and have some coffee with you and chat. Guys, knowledge pops up, love builds up. Let's build another up. Yes? Amen. Good job. A little bit by shape because I need into the whole new build. No change is a bit weird, isn't it? Who likes change? Be confident, guys, that God has got this. We do not make changes. Let me tell you, we're not making changes for the sake of making changes. In this church, change is made through conviction of Holy Spirit on our lives.
Yeah.
We may change before that we have to battle with grace when we change. So if you're new this morning, I'm sorry, one of the changes we made quite a while ago in the church is on its traditional head. We believe to do it right now. This is how God's called us to do it. Be challenged this morning in your attitude towards knowledge and love, in how we are. I love the fact that you're growing, you're connecting into the small groups and growing yourself and doing it with a mind to love others. So we're going to go into communion now. And we do this, it's a tradition. It's not the biblical way of doing communion. When we go family service and sit around and we eat together, that's how the Bible did it. But we do this to represent that command that Jesus said, no, we're all together. Remember what I did. This ultimate to love. The reason why we do everything else is the source of all the love that flows out of us. Would you, when you meet together, when you're eating and drinking, remember the blood that I spilled. Remember the sacrifice. He put all his preference aside for us. All his rights aside for us. That we may be free. So when you take the bread and you take the wine, so is an act of your freedom. Do you know there's issues in that love that we spoke about before? Maybe you've been unkind. Maybe you've been rude. Take a moment. But when you know the table, just give it back to God. Receive this love. Oh, guys, fill yourself up with as much as you can. So that wherever you go, without even doing anything, that love spills out. So when you're ready, the guys are going to get ready to share. Take a moment, when you're ready, go and collect your children from Junior Church and Crest, and go and take them to your family. The families that love, not just one another, but out there, we're a church that love.